shadow. Possible, like a shadow, that is. All right. Just look at the look of the woman to make sure you want to marry. What happens after you're engaged? You're engaged, you're ready, finished. So the seated, even the seated who are moderate, that the boy sees the girl, you know, a few times. Not very nice. Has to make sure that that's right. So once they break the plate, once it's already a shidduch, they send them off pack to yeshiva somewhere, they come back to the passage. Succeeded. Even the succeeded who are moderate, that the boy sees the girl, you know, a few times. Not very nice. Has to make sure that that's right. So once they break the plate, once it's already a shidduch, they send them all back to yeshiva somewhere. She comes back to the chasen. Doesn't see her at all during that period of time. The more modern the two, they talk to each other. And by modern, they don't do that. Question comes, wait a minute, so how can I, what now? How do we defend the practice that exists in the yeshiva world? Boy sees girl after the shit, after they're ready to get, what's wrong? How do you allow it? And he answers a great question. That he wants to make doubly sure that the girl's right in it. Even though he's really sure, he wasn't sure he got engaged in the first place. Engagement do break up. And in any event, if he's living in a society of success, that this is what's done, the couple sees her during the engagement period, he says, well, I'm going to be broke. I'm not going to see you again until I'm full of passion. So say, here's your ring. Keep it. She won't look at it. She won't pass you back. So the male, he's doing that which is normal. That's not considered a fatale, even if there is certain undesirable results. Of course, the question is how he has to draw a line somewhere. My Talmidim has been established to say that. I have people who are engaged to say that, or about to get engaged, or getting engaged, or they're just engaged. How do they talk to the caliph? Can I look her in the eye after Shabbos next week? But I do. Till now, I knew about it. But now, first of all, it's much more intense because they're already engaged couple. And now he doesn't see him, so what does he do? I told him we're allowed to look her in the eyes. I don't want to say, you know, break up the shit up, but not look her in the eyes. But I said, you have to. You know, if there are limits, if you don't, if a couple won't make limits to themselves, they got to tell her, especially if they can't have a short engagement. Yeah, engagement slips on. It's a real disaster, a real disaster. Terrible. Parents slip out of engagement, it's terrible. Two brothers might say just got engaged. Very friendly with each other, two very fine young men. So one getting married in March. Oh, Hashem. Get married in March, December, okay. 3 months, they're already on my club. 3 months courtship, 3 months engagement, it's already that's the club goal. That's the ideal. Now, I would be stoned in some circles of being much too liberal and modern. 3 months? The boys have to go out for 3 months? You can't tell where the money should be. And then the top run out of exchange. We didn't all live in this series? That's what I did. But money should be. Wrote this in the Algamated Journal, I think it was 20 years ago. And it was so such a, already then started a terrible, terrible uptick in the bosses of the Shul community. It started 20 years ago. Yeah, it started then. So Moshe Vick was so upset by this. He said he wiped it out. He printed it in the Yiddish papers that he said that every boy before he gets engaged has to go with the girl at least 8 times. 8 times. There were shiur from Bnei Brak here once, who was telling a story about a boy who would wife one of his daughters, but once, twice, 3 times, sure. The boy said they want that again. 4 times, sure. Yesterday he went to Rav Shach. He said, Rav Shach, what is he, a blood? So he's after the expression. Sure. He said, 4 times. So they went out 5 times. They got engaged. And he said, Rav Shach had come to all of his other weddings. Come to this one? He doesn't know, he didn't feel well, he's 90-something years old, he's not really, he didn't come to this one. Meinst du, weil ich Rosh Hashanah, ich muss Rosh Hashanah. Das kann ich das Hashanah. Gut, gut. Rosh Hashanah. So, the Stock Maron was known for his sharp wit. When there are a bunch of big prisoners in the papers, he said, oh, Kapti b'chaya n'pnei b'no space. What Rivka says about the T-type women that Asa was married, he thought that Yaakov would not to him. So the Stock Maron said, Kapti b'chaya, my life, I can't stand the b'no space. What's chest? Chest. Hey. They go out 8 times, I can't stand it, you know, Smith, they go out 8 times. That was his response to Rabbi Shabir. They came to Rabbi Shabir, they told him, but the Stock Maron was upset about it. What was Rabbi Shabir's response? Oh, Stock Maron, I'm the Reis in the Sadiq Nisi. He is very open as he does weddings. Oh, but I'm the Sadiq Gittin. But I'm the Sadiq Gittin, so I know better. That was his response, I think he's right. We were kibbutzing. And say, all right, Moshe Bit, he went to YU. He started his Kukhana for a bunch of celebration in the 1920s. Kukhana the Rahman, he was there. The fact landed on his upbringing. The brother, the brother, I think it was Rakhis, Charlie Bit, so that was the nephew was the Rabbi Gush, Ezra Bit, like a Rusa. That's why, he said. That's not why, believe me, that's not why. But, he's getting engaged and he's married. He said, you have to look this way, that way, the other way. How is that so simple? The other Bacham just got engaged 2 days ago. Yesterday. Shabbat, everybody was here yesterday. So he has spoken to me before. Fine man, fine lady, nice family, everything nice, and beautiful, dandy, wonderful. They're getting married in June. I can't speak to what, how do I handle this? Even before the engaged, it's getting so intense, I can't. You know, I see so good for me. I said, well, first of all, don't see her during the week at all. I don't see her during the week. I never see her during the week. Come to Yeshiva Sunday night, that kind of Monday morning. Don't see her till Thursday night, Friday, or the weekend. The weekend is going Thursday night to Sunday night, that's a Monday morning. But all right, but still. And then I said, so why are you married in June? Her parents insist that we don't get married until next January. Finished. He finishes college next January, that's it, not before that. So the common source, they were able to, someone convinced him to get married to Jews, and beyond that, forget it, it's not even shy to talk about. It's not fair. Because these parents, when they were growing up, they had rules all over the place. How they conduct themselves, I don't know. When we were growing up, there were many engaged couples that were not exactly clean. If you think it's only our time, you're just able to press about it. You live in the 17th century. How engaged couples somehow thought that once they're engaged, they're committed, they can, do things that others can't do. And then you write the yellow screens and drawing and parallel, all kinds of disastrous consequences. All the mice. Anyway, this is a very serious problem. But the solution is that that's what it is. We can't help it. So then they have to establish this relationship. And even though there's not an additional measure of his stock was more than we really should be happy with, get out of it, that's all finished. But, yes?
Is there any discussion of the woman's obligation once they're in engagement towards her making herself beautiful for her chassan?
Well, she doesn't want to look any less beautiful than she had looked until that. Because if he was, if I want to marry this woman who looks this way, barely after she's married, But until she's married, when she meets him on dates, or whatever, she better look her best.
So the obligation is totally on him? Not to...
But she shouldn't look ugly. No, she has to wear
No. She shouldn't look ugly, but...
She should make sure she looks all about this. She should look good. Yeah, she should look before her engagement. She shouldn't do anything that's crazy. Look the best. Fine. So these are very important halachas. Are there other areas? Are there other levels of stachlis? Yes. In stachlis shalom l'shem hanor. Staring not for the purpose of any pleasure. Simple. A boy is going to school. The professor is a woman. And she's giving a lecture, she's looking for an hour straight watching her give a lecture. So stop with a little shame on her. Or a woman comes in the shower by a rope, and it's a complicated shower, and it's an hour. She's calling her this, and the rope's looking for an hour. That's a stockless shalol, shame on all. Not for any purpose about any pleasure. What's it is? So the stock mirror held with us. The famous story. And the stock mirror was saved from the Nazis, Nashima. So there was a whole long saga. I think there's so many details. One of the interesting stories was she was brought in front of some bureaucrat who was a woman. So when she came to the person on the desk, he turned his chair around and put it back to her. She was from Kaisakara, I don't know what she was, a communist, I don't know what she was, so she went to the other side. So then he turned around again, and his life is on the line. This is, I mean, this is because of his promise. He wouldn't do it. That was a boom god of the savior. That was all of a certain sin, he's good. In Lithuania, you know, on him, a woman comes to her emotion. If a woman came to her emotion with a child, he would look her right in the face. That was a minute of litter. That's how I went to a Schwab or a boy, right in the face. That's how we grew up. That was a big deal. Now it's in certain circles, it's already considered a Swedish business is taken over. The man will not look a woman in the face. All depends on their various customs. The big machlokes, Oscar. So the Chazon Ish writes, he thinks that he's a literature. He writes, a vaga should be mutter. My problem should go back 300 years. It certainly should be mutter. What's wrong? The problem is that they're afraid that one will lead to the other. And by looking at the person, not for the purpose of pleasure, maybe how pretty she is. If she's really pretty, then it may lead to that purpose of pleasure. Not so pretty. So then it's the wrong route to be leading. I guess the Chassidim will never want to pretty. They just don't know how to go along and they're afraid they'll make a mistake. So that's why they're much more strict for the lifting in this area. This brings to another point. What about in stockless in a part of the body that is normally covered, but now it's exposed? So there the cross can say it's also us. For any purpose. Once again, the Chazon Ish writes, why should it be us? It's not the same, I know. So the Chazon Ish writes, well, the part of the body that's usually exposed is almost guaranteed in a man to leave the Hanoh. And therefore, it's a no-no. This is all the unsneers. Where a woman can't go around the exposing parts of the body that are normally covered, because men are not meant to look for even in a casual fashion, even without the intent, direct intent of having any pleasure, and therefore the woman has to conduct herself accordingly.
What about a
frum doctor? Very good. A frum doctor. A frum doctor is a, how can a male doctor take care of a female patient? The post can say that it's power of the lacto. But I mean, if it's work. And the same way as the person who's involved on a farm doesn't think twice about the tractor, so too the doctor who is involved in medical practice, assuming he's an ethical person, won't think twice about the patients that he takes care of. Now, there are women who strongly prefer female doctors. I can understand that. That's the basis for it. I don't think it's a lot to require. Always the bias on it would call for the best doctor, male or female. All of the things being equal, I would say it's almost the best of a female doctor. There are a bit of uses in the medical profession. You don't really know too much to realize crazy stories of the dentist puts his patient to sleep with a Novocaine and then he comes to the patient with all the little old papers. Unfortunately, one had a very Jewish name, if I recall that not long ago, Shemi Sferain. It was a Hill Hashem big time. So, this is obviously exceptions, but you have to be very careful. Be very careful. So the Nara goes on, that is even more remarkable. That's why I go to the last part of the Shiva. And says that a man should even demonstrate a great degree of affection for his wife in public. Based on the model of Abbasu. But about Avraham and Sarah. So the Gaurus and Apelo. So what's Avraham doing there? He's looking at Sarah's hair. He's taking things out of the hair of some kind of strange Gemara of Abbasu. So now, based on that Gemara, the post can say that it's not right that a couple should so accept, you know, extra affection in public. What does that mean? They were looking after the lice. The lice. What's so affectionate about lice? So, I don't know what you mean by that. But other kinds of affection also. What does it mean? What, how do you define it? Let's say there used to be nether. So the old times, we still remember nether, the couple, the inseparable couple that became separated in divorce. There's one couple that used to come to the shul that this woman was so insecure, a motherless man. She had to walk with her husband. That's right. She had to wrap herself around him. I'm not talking about where they're walking, I don't know, in Lover's Lane. I'm talking about in Henry Hunter Park in front of the shul. She had to grab hold of him and hold it like this, and he would have to hold it like that. Never. He was sick. They got divorced. Never. She was sick. She was sick, so she was sick. And he, thank God, he married. He built himself. Thank God, Baruch Hashem, Baruch Hashem. I think she's still, I'm not sure if we met. She's really a sick woman. I think to me, if I'm anyway. But, it's not right. The couples have to hang on themselves. Even the married couples have to come. Not right. But a lot of people. A shout out to a couple of old hands in the street. The answer is mother. But Moshe went all the time to the living room as well. Of course, if he was older, they don't have steady. And I don't want to put my eyes, even that. The Litmus Rabbanim used to go that way in the old years. Because they're older. They're so old, they don't make a difference anymore. It doesn't matter anymore. But beyond that, not right that people in public. Holy hands, beyond that, I think is the problem. I mean, in the story,
that's
another issue. She was maybe couple don't want to hold hands. No, this ring is holding it. That's the balance. Who's keeping track? Keeping track of that. Fingernails, you know, keep the track of everybody else's business. Terrible. So you have to try and people keep track of you. So you shouldn't give them the opportunity to keep track. But doing publicly, there's a story that it was a case, it was apparently a popular custom 50 years ago, that after the wedding, the bride kissed the groom, again Hollywood. Groom kissed the bride. It seemed like a popular, dramatic, romantic. So they said to the mother, yelling, what's wrong, Everett, mother? So he responded to the father. His response was, La'enei kol Yisrael? At the end of the Torah. Well, actually, was the Torah, La'enei kol Yisrael. So he said that to the judge, that's what he said. Be careful. Again, Shulchan Aruch says, if a man is hugging or kissing a woman, it's a terrible prohibition. What about his sister? Doesn't enjoy it. Sister. So Shulchan Aruch said, his three words to characterize Meguna, Meguna Beyoser, Bar Iser, and Masa Tipshin. So it's despicable, prohibited, and the act of fools.
What?
Hugging and kissing a sister. So the question is, why do you use three expressions? So the answer is not really awesome. So we really answer. It's not like to say any pig meat is despicable and prohibited and that's a fool. But it really means that it's something that shouldn't be done. Because it wasn't linked to another sister next to the thing, the part of an aunt and a cousin and a girlfriend. And I'll say, I have to be careful with these matters. But it's not an absolute prohibition. It's irrelevant. Sometimes an aunt comes over to a fellow and attacks him. So the fattest doesn't ask for much. One of the things why she asks for much. Rebbe, what should I do? My ass comes over to me, I keep pulling away, but she just. No. But that is something hard by Yahweh. No. So one of them, finally, she had a Zionist Kaina, don't be stupid, just, you know, this is one of those arayas that ain't on enough, wow. This is one of the wise, squirming trunks, that's good to get away from this. And then, she used the tricks. Either he should say, Auntie, I have a terrible cold, you don't want to catch anything for me. Boy, it's going to be garlic or onions or something that's just so hideous that no one's going anywhere near it. Those are the tricks that they have to use. Now, what about shaking hands? Rav Moshe writes, Tshuva, yes, and also my brother shake hands with women, and they assume that it's not a problem. But I'm not so sure. What's the shower? They're called the Giyash of Hebrew or Ashal Hebrew. Rav Moshe told many tshuvas, two tshuvas, that the Giyash of Lobo Derakiba, physical contact is not affectionate, is permissible. Absolutely permissible. That's the head of the right in some ways, and Rosh Hashanah, the head of the tshuva right in some ways, then the tshuva shaking hands. But not so sure it's not affectionate, because Rav Moshe was smart than everybody else. I've been in a situation where there was very strict discipline, and they wouldn't allow a boy to touch the girl, but they were allowed to shake hands. You should have seen these handshakes. Unbelievable. They had all their timers had to have one handshake. So, but much is right. Get out of it. You give up to risk handshake, you know. Well, my Rabbi Soloveitchik, when he was pushed on all these little dead fish, that might have to see one day when a woman came over. Put his hand on my hand, I like this. And he just said it up. And he was like, $100. Like, what's he going to do? And she doesn't get the message. You know, she keeps the hand still out there. And he just doesn't get the message. And she's, you know, she was really embarrassed. He put out like this. They put out like a rush. So then she went, we always call it the dead fish. You figure if you put in the dead fish, I'm not going to have hands off the dead fish. They were going to pull a broken fingers. I don't know what they're going to get from it. But it stops.
What happens
when
the man,
I
usually
can't help it. What you should do is have a pocketbook in one hand and have a book in the other hand, which is hand out. There are cookies to do. A cook used to take his cane in one hand. Well, a company take his, tip his hat in the other hand, a big gentleman. So it's all tied up. It's all tied up. There's a cane and a hat, that's it, finished. You gotta try to tie yourself up. And if you can't, you know, I stick your hand out there, you know. I think Mikra did it mutter. My opinion. But I thought it too. So, you know,
but is it
more
embarrassing not to give
a victim?
If you're embarrassing the person by not
putting
your hand,
yeah.
What's that?
What is it? You get the person realize after a split second, they're not interested, or they sort of pull back, and they'll just be sort of like, okay.
It was a
pro
person.
That's all. They could deal with it very easy. But it was a pro person.
It was a pro person.
So what?
I don't take the liberty. Well, I was a Jewish.
So
my rabbi
got
this, and mine. That's a whole
thing. And a kalacha, though, from a woman's perspective, it's also this problem related to arayas and all these things that we've been discussing. Because there are no add-ons to this. It's not like the women are going to have the same enthusiasm for the handshakes that these young men do.
I think the wives are equally enthusiastic. Equally enthusiastic. But it's the same for everyone. Exactly. It's only one. Yeah.
What does one do in business situations where
many,
you know, depending on the field, many times, I mean, sure, there are certain people who practice their handshakes.
First, hold them to France. I think it's mutter if you have no choice. I think if you can use it, shalom and derech ego, you have to make it as much shalom and derech ego as possible. staccato. I'll take the word in a split second. Pitch. So if I open pitch, that's it. Hello.
Right.
So, pitch, 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 one, two, three. Make sure it's a little bit there, people, and that's the end. Ladies, one topic of Siddur Chappal I've been discussing, and that is the topic of covering the hair. That we just talked about. That's the topic for next week, if we can meet next week. I cannot meet next week at this time, because I have a... Also, is Yaked in Erebah, Me'arayet, Ben Kena, Ben Yalda. A man is not supposed to be telling the Shulchanot for men. Not supposed to be in seclusion with a woman who is prohibited unto him, whether she's old or young. She's old, nothing's going to happen. Doesn't make a difference anyway. It's also anyway. Why? Because this can cause someone to come to sin. What are the exceptions? A mother with her son, father with his daughter, a husband with his wife who is Nida. Those are the three exceptions. The three situations where relations are prohibited, there's absolutely no problem of seclusion. They can live together in the same room. It's not a problem, because we're not afraid that they're going to come to sin. Why? Well, parents and children, we're assuming there's no evil inclination. That's how it's assumed based on the psukim and the gemaras. And therefore they can live together in the same house indefinitely. Indefinitely. And we know it exists. There are many cases where, Amanda and her son is not married, and they could be in the same house for 10 years, in and out, and that's it. Smooth. No problem whatsoever. At the gum. There are some other exceptions, and that is grandchildren. See, the Shulchan Aruch says parents and children, we're going to be by grandchildren, they're going to say a word. Not a single word. So in the small print on the bottom, it's warm in here. That means not only relative to the outside, but relative to the house. So the same as the Shulchan Aruch says, there's no prohibition of yichud between a parent and child. So too, the small print of Pesukei Teshuvah quotes that there's no prohibition of yichud between grandparent and grandchild. Okay? That's what it says. Now, what about other relatives? Other relatives. With respect to a sister, it says in Poskim, it's quoted on the side also, that it's permissible for a brother and a sister to be by themselves in the house, but only what's called temporarily. It's called the akroi, occasionally. Aroi, temporarily, not the kviyas, which is permanently. How do we define permanently? 30 days. A brother and sister shouldn't be by themselves in the house for 30 days. This could be relevant. Say the parents are going away to Israel for 2 months and they have one son and one daughter living in a house. It's a problem. But they shouldn't be in the house for more than 30 days. But it says in the...
Yeah, but if it's two brothers and a sister...
So far we're on one-on-one. We haven't gotten to more than that yet. Alright. Okay. Now, this prohibition known as Yichud, what's its source? Is it a Torah prohibition, or is it a rabbinical prohibition? This is a big dispute. The Gemara calls a pasuk, which indicates that it's a Torah law. However, some say no, it's only a rabbinical law. Only rabbinical. This is a matter of a great dispute in terms of this prohibition of Yichud with a woman who is prohibited unto the man. Now, if the pasuk is quoted, it happened to be rabbinical law. What a pasuk? The answer is that many times when the pasuk is quoted, it's what we call an asmachta, which means it's a rabbinical law, but the rabbis sort of attached this rabbinical law to a pasuk in order maybe to make it stronger, to teach you to remember it better. This is called asmachta. So some say
that's not the Rambam, quote on the bottom over here, Tosfos, Torah says Doraisa, like Torah law, and the Rambam calls it a remez. Remez. That's a dispute even within the Rambam. What does he mean by remez? Does he mean it's Torah law, or does he mean rabbinical law? So that's, you know, it's a secondary dispute even within the Rambam. That's a question. We don't know. All the quote on the side of the Shulchan Aruch. Now, aside from the, you said three exceptions, right? That father and daughter and mother and son and a husband whose wife is neither. If not for that, bad news. Right? Imagine the couple getting married and then she goes to, she comes with neither, so they have to move out. That'd be very good for the motel business. But fortunately, it's not true. That there is no prohibition of a chassan whose wife is neither. There's no prohibition. Why not? Host asks the question, why not? If they're not allowed to live with each other, so there should be a prohibition. Obviously, the reasons of the should apply to parents and children don't apply over here. So the reason that she's given is because, interesting expression, it's called pats v'salo. Very strange expression. He has the bread in the basket. Here's the bread in the basket. That means he knows that he has to wait a little bit, be a little bit patient. And the wife will go to the mikveh, and they'll be permissible. So therefore, we're not afraid he's going to do something wrong, because we figured that the average person has that much patience. Interestingly, for this very reason, Shulchan Aruch says, it's quoted in the halacha, V'chosan shepir se'ishto nida, kodem she'ivo, also l'syachar imo. That it is a couple, and she's neither before the marriage is, we call, consummated. They cannot be together. Rather, he is shena ben ha'noshim, but we are shena ben ha'noshim. And he should be with men, she should be with women, something is literally. But they have to actually have, each one should have a shomer or a shomer. But the other parts can say, as we quoted more in Yeruday and it was neither than here, that as long as there's no yichud proper, it's all right. But truth is, there's a big dispute about this halacha, major dispute, a major one. Is this halacha the same as every other erevah? Just as, for example, according to some Rishonim, yichud by arayat is a Torah prohibition. So too, yichud with the isha nida before the marriage is consummated is a Torah prohibition, because nida is an erevah. What means nida is an erevah? It's kares. What does kares mean? It's a serious prohibition. Not just the relationship, but it's a very serious prohibition. Koras is an indicator that the prohibition is the one of Erba. So whenever there's an Erba, there's a prohibition of Yichud, that's how some interpret. If that's the case, so the laws of the prohibition of Yichud before the marriage is consummated will be roughly parallel to the laws of any other prohibited relationship where Yichud is not allowed. That's one possibility. Other possibilities? No, that's ridiculous. We can't include husband and wife in this category. And nida is not an error, but the best proof is if she would, down the road, her nida status will not be a problem with respect to yichud. It's a special rabbinical prohibition that they're afraid that because of the special circumstances of new chasam kala, that he's not going to be able to rely on the pasuk v'salo. We wait till she goes to the mikveh. That's only if the marriage has already been consummated. But if it hasn't yet, he's not going to be patient enough to wait. So we're afraid. The rabbinical prohibition. If it's a rabbinical prohibition, you're going to have completely different parameters. Maybe more strict, maybe more lenient. That's the Ravid says. Which is just a phrase, according to the Rambam, is a real halacha, with both stringencies and leniencies. The stringency is not enough, that they should just be, two men and a woman. Right? They're two different rooms, things of that nature. It's not enough. It says you have to have two shomer, a shomer for him and a shomer for her. That's the stringency. The leniency of it, it only applies at night. That's why these expressions, who yashin, he yashin. By Torah law, there's no difference between men, day and night with respect to yichud. But here, it's a rabbinical prohibition, so they made a distinction between day and night. At night, obviously, it's much more conducive to this kind of activity, so therefore they made an extra prohibition. It's interesting. Rav Soloveitchik once suggested that according to the Ravid, it doesn't even mean day and night. That's the moon is shining, the sun is shining. It depends on the circumstances. he wants to suggest, I don't know if we ever really pass in this way, that if you have a couple and she's nida, according to the Ravid, she'd be allowed to have what they call the yichud as normal. Why? What kind of yichud this is, even though it may be dark outside, but you know, it's not a time when the relations are possible. Even though officially that's the whole purpose of yichud, it should be fit for that. But, you know, given the circumstances, that in 8 minutes they're going to bang down the doors for the photographer. And she's in her whole wedding gown, and he's in his tuxedo. And I mean, you know, it's just a theoretical possibility, but it's not real. And therefore, according to the Rive, it's the equivalent of daytime. I'm sure he meant it really seriously, but they once suggested that possibility. Anyway, the Rambam holds differently for sure. So what we do is, in the case of that, we don't have the we do it, we put someone in the room. So all kinds of tricks that are used by Rabbanim, because this happens. No question, it happens. It really shouldn't happen. It depends upon how long the engagement is. It's one of the things. Chassidim, you'll get your wedding invitation 2 weeks before the wedding. You don't get it before. And if something goes amiss, they just postpone the wedding. That's all finished. And they don't print out the invitation until the last minute. When they basically, I guess, they wait till the period comes. And they figure out, okay, so now 3 weeks the wedding can be. They quickly send out the invitations. And then and shut it. And they never have a problem. You want to have the whole a year in advance. And, you know, it's just impossible to predict. Even the rumor is regular. Certainly the rumor to get a little bit irregular often during that period of engagement. So often this is just there. Now they have pills. Now it's the latest style. Pills. Everyone's on pills. Including chassidim in terms of certain things. They're also on pills. I'm told that the Galatiana chassidim go on pills and the Hungarian chassidim acid pills. They're too modern. Too modern. Modern, you know, they don't want to go. I'm against pills for different reasons, because they cause staining and they cause, I will only recommend the pills when it's necessary, in a limited way. Well, speak to the doctor when it's necessary. I don't go into that right now. But this is what it says here in Shulchan Aruch, in Siman Chav Beis, Siv Aleph. Okay, let us go further. Assuming that the Easter of Yichud is a Torah prohibition, poskim say it's only in the case of one-on-one. But if there are other situations, we'll get to a little bit later, they are only rabbinical prohibitions, they're not Torah prohibitions. Let me go further than that. In the case where there is a permissibility because of a father and a daughter, or a mother and a son, so the poskim say that if the father is permitted to be in the house with his daughter, let's say the daughter wants a better friend. Makes sense. The mother went there to Israel. And right, so what you have is the father and the daughter. The daughter is lonely, so she invites a friend. Not a problem. It says in Shulchan Aruch, we'll see later on, that a man is not supposed to be in their house even with two women. So they're at night. So can he be in the house with his daughter and his daughter's friend? The answer is yes. The answer is yes. Because the fear that the can't have a man in a house with two women, we're afraid we're going to sin with both of them. Each will cover up for the other. But since one of the women is his daughter, and the daughter obviously is, we only suspect them of sinful behavior with respect to the daughter, so therefore it's not possible for any sin to transpire. She's going to watch over her father and make sure nothing goes wrong. That's a general rule. Any woman with whom a man is permitted to be in the same room as she is viewed not only as being permissible on her own, but she's viewed as being a protection as far as other women are concerned. It applies to his own wife, and his daughter, and his mother, and all the other women which we discussed before. Okay. Let's go further. This is by Torah law, or early rabbinical law, according to the Rambam, possibly, but certainly early, very early restrictions. However, David HaMelech, who came a little bit later, made a prohibition against seclusion even between a man and a single woman, a woman who was unmarried, who was not related, presumably even who was not neither. In the olden days, women would go to the mikveh just for purpose of ritual purity, so it should render the food ritually impure, and then the chairs, and the tables, etc. But it was a terrible story. Amnon and Tamar, we read about it in the Sefer Shmuel. When that happened, David HaMelech made this prohibition. No one could be in a room, even where they call a pluyu, was not related. Because there was, of course, a rabbinical prohibition. Years later, Shammai and Hillel made a gzeirah against Yichud with a Jewish man and a non-Jewish woman. They prohibited that also. So then everything's prohibited. Bottom line, everything is awesome. That's it. Everything is awesome.
Day and night.
Day and night. Everything is awesome. Now, what is Yichud? Yichud is seclusion, privacy. If other people can walk in at any time or can see through the window, it's not considered Yichud in the first place. That's simply not Yichud. So it doesn't matter who, what, it's not Yichud. It's not Yichud, it's what?
It's a child.
We haven't got the children yet. What age? We'll get to that at the end. So Yichud is permissible, but it's not, I should say, it's not called Yichud. It's not that Yichud is permissible. It's simply not called Yichud. Finished. For a Jewish woman, there's a prohibition of Yichud, the same as for a man, and she may not be in the same room with a Jewish man or with a non-Jewish man. Interestingly, the Pasuk can say that for two different reasons. Jewish men were afraid they're going to sin with common consent. Non-Jewish men were afraid he's going to force himself upon it. A different kind of a prohibition. There could be even differences. Crack with you one or the other. It's a very serious review. They take too many liberties with non-Jewish men, you know, all kinds of workers and things of this nature. And they say that they have to be very careful. They say, and you know that there are problems. Unfortunately, there have been situations of problems. Let's not forget common sense. It's also a part of the Shulchan Aruch. Be careful what, where, and how, and this and that. Not so simple. I'll just give an example. Poskim will say that an elevator is no problem with Yichud. Almost all say. No problem with Yichud. Because the elevator, before you turn around, the door opens up. They tell me that the guy can press the stop button. Right? It's possible, no? But he hasn't pressed it yet. So this is a good. Do a lot of things. But right now, they're not considered to be Yichud. Everyone agrees it's what. What's the story some years back? We're from a very prominent rabbinical family. Nebuch had such a situation and she didn't live to tell the tale. In an elevator shift. Something was an elevator and a guy, you know, he told her. Anyway, she ended up not alive. And at that time, some of the rabbis from Borough Park got up and said, listen, whatever it is, my elevator is put to us, we want to make our own gather, it shouldn't be allowed. That was an unusual thing to say. It's a commercial elevator, I don't think it was a regular house.
Great.
Yeah. I don't remember that part of the story. I don't remember. But there was a truth. It's long story. It was quite a few years ago. But it was a terrible story. And we have to be careful. You have to be careful. Anyway. So, this is a very serious matter. Now, we should recognize further that this applies, as I said before, to all relatives, except for those mentioned over here. And we should not make with an assumption, look, come on, it's related, it's not a problem, it's only a brother-in-law, it's only a sister-in-law, it's only a mother-in-law, it's a... No. Certainly, I mean, I don't want to talk about mothers-in-law, but I'm not going over to that, but there's certainly been cases, unfortunately, I mean, I'm speaking only from people telling me, making it up, but there were problems with brothers-in-laws and sisters-in-laws, and these problems exist. We don't suspect anyone in particular, Chas v'Shalom. These problems do have existed in the past, and therefore when the Chazal says, Yichud is prohibited, it's prohibited. Finished. But there is one saving grace. That's what's called Baal Abayir. What's Baal Abayir mean? a woman, a married woman whose husband is in town. What's this all about? So we assume that a woman whose husband is in town is not a non-Jewish man. We said that we're afraid of something forcible, it doesn't help. That's what we said before, that this is one immediate practical difference. The Pasuk can talk about there's a law of the land, that if a man does something like this, he gets put in jail, maybe that should be Mata Yichud. They say no, that's for good reason. You can never prove it. You know what happened today, all these court cases and this, and yes and no. It's a problem. Okay, so that's Balak. What about Ishta over here? Hey, it works for the woman. It won't do anything when her husband is in town. What about the man when his wife's in town? We don't trust these men. We're afraid even if the husband and wife's in town, we don't trust them. Unless she's in the neighborhood. It's possible to say, I'm not kidding. She's in the neighborhood and she just went out shopping. And then we know that you better watch yourself. But if she's in another part of town, we don't trust them ever. That's the way it is. Up to 1-1. Maybe even 3-1 in certain cases. And the Shulchan Aruch, I don't mean the Shulchan Aruch. It says a woman shouldn't be with many men unless one of them has a wife there. We would make sure that he behaves and everyone else behaves. If not, you know what goes on sometimes. Similarly, a man shouldn't be with many women. Then there are more rights. And a woman could be with two men who are kosher, that means they are presumed to be proper people, proper Jewish people, in Huba'ir, if it's in the city. Not if it's in the Sodom, which means in the wilderness or someplace that's not inhabited. And most people are considered to be kosher. 2-on-1. Maybe even 3-on-1 in certain cases. And the Shulchan Aruch, I don't mean the Shulchan Aruch. It says a woman shouldn't be with many men unless one of them has a wife there, who will make sure that he behaves and everyone else behaves. If not, you know what goes on sometimes. Similarly, a man shouldn't be with many women. Then I'm all right. And a woman could be with two men who are kosher, means they are presumed to be proper people, proper Jewish people, in Uba'ir, if it's in the city. Not if it's in the Soda, which means in the wilderness or someplace where it's not inhabited. And most people are considered to be kosher. But if they're prudzim, if they're people who are engaged in all kinds of inappropriate behavior, then it's prohibited, even if they're tentative. As I said before, if it's in a field, or if it's at night, even in the city, you need 3. Even kshelim. One sort of shayla. Someone asked Avraham Lipinstein, right next to him, the question was asked, it was about 10 years ago. But one of these cases, apartment, three boys, 3 girls. So what's it then? 3 boys in 1 room, 3 girls in another room. It's in Shulchan Aruch. Noshim harbeh, my noshim harbeh, and choshen liichu. What could be wrong? So Rav Aaron said, it's a different kind of, but that's what he said. You think that everything at the mutter of Shulchan Aruch is really mutter? Are you kidding? Shulchan Aruch is a minimal halacha. You have to go much further than the Shulchan Aruch. As a matter of fact, a situation where some of the women who were actually from wives and colons from Lakewood ended up with some kind of complicated yichud child where they were working in an office and sometimes maybe left later in the day and everyone would leave except for the employer. Who's it for? except for the employer was a male and there was a female employee and pull back and forth, and they try to find a reason that they have to, because after all, Shulchan Aruch says, other people could walk in, other people have the key, and they are brought in, but Lakewood said, us. Why did us? Shulchan Aruch said, what's up? The Shulchan Aruch is a minimal. We have to know that, you have to know when to go beyond the Shulchan Aruch, because there must have been some bad incident somewhere other that they're about to do about. They went further than the Shulchan Aruch, beyond the Shulchan Aruch. They're right. Very careful. Very careful. It's something which we have to, again, make our own gedara to know what's prohibited and what's permissible. Not simple. Not all simple. Okay. We said before that if there's a house which is open to the street, there's no property. Expression is called Pasura Pashasarab. It's open to the street. What do you mean it's open to the street? What do you mean open to the street? Anyone can just come in, right? Anyone can just walk in? No problem. Pisco Pasura Pashasarab. Wide open. Anybody can walk in. What happens if the door is closed but unlocked? Very common shadow. It's closed but unlocked. So, the Piskei Tshuva calls it prohibited. And when the Rashba seems to say it's permissible, it's only in a special case. What kind of special case? It really depends on, just the bottom line, the people walking. In some places, the door's open. Everyone knows the door's open. People are walking all the time. Like on a bungalow. Am I right? I never lived in a bungalow. One of the reasons I never lived in a bungalow. People walk in, just walk in.
They walk in. They just walk in all the time. There's no real privacy in the bungalow. They just walk in all the time. So then, it's arguable that noisy. People are just walking all the time. There were no doors in that lack of the bungalow. But in an apartment house in Riverdale, or a private house for that matter, your door may be unlocked. No one knows that it's unlocked, and no one comes in, it's like no one just barges in. So therefore, the fact that it's unlocked would not prevent the use of evil from being there. That's an issue. If the door's ajar, then it's a question. If the door's ajar, then there's, you know, people open the door ajar, not even fully locked, you can see that it's not. Then many folks come and make, and granted the door's ajar, someone will see there, you know, what's going on? Wrong, it is, that. Yeah. You just kill the jar, you just walk in. In our house, the door's open ajar. And you just walk in. In Eretz Yisrael, it's that very well. You just leave the doors open. Doors open. And in Riverdale, we're one of the few that the door is usually open. Shh. I'll tell you. Door's usually open in our house. But it's only for insiders. But, and for some reason, people shouldn't really leave the doors open in New York. It's crazy. Sort of have, my father's house was always open. Still always open. this is sort of a mistake. But it's not commonly done in America. For good reason. In America, it's still much more commonly done. We shop in La Beta Farzach and some of the extra security. Feel that way. How the violence and security should continue to increase in light of present situation. So if in most cases, the fact that the door is open, it's unlocked, but it's closed, would not suffice. It's become a very serious problem in professional life. I've dealt with people who have big problems with this. Therapy, you know, psychologists, things of this nature. You want to lock the door. Or even if you want to close the door and don't lock it, but everybody else just dare not barge in. The barge into one of those sessions is like a criminal offense. They're talking about this very important, deep, dark secret of his life. And you know, walk in like this, it would be terrible. It's a big problem. It's a major problem. Either way, male or female practitioner, you have all kinds of problems. Well, the best way to solve the problem for a woman practitioner is to get married. To make sure she works in the city where her husband lives, or her husband is during the day. And then they have their valet be here. I guess if you're a woman practitioner, make sure to be in the neighborhood. The male practitioner has to be in the neighborhood where his wife lives. Because they have to live in the neighborhood. So, it's a big problem. I've had people ask me, Shai, you know, what can I do with this? There is another option, which is have a window. I don't have a window which you can see through. You don't have to be able to hear through it. See through it, not a problem. I remember once visiting an office in Mikhvala, the school for girls in Yerushalayim. One that I brought in there had an office. They obviously go around talking privately about their various academic business, etc., etc. They had a very beautiful office, and it was completely encased in glass. So as you can see through it from all sides, there's no necessarily even. But any of the examiners, they would speak privately to the to the female students. That's using a head, that's being inventive. So, maybe the project is professional. Some people wouldn't even want that if they want to see them. So you see, so what you do is, it's still not a problem. Now they have this door. The door should be open to the place where the psychologist is sitting. She can be seen from the window. Whereas the man, or the other way around, I don't know the psychologist, so man and woman can be seen from the window. And the patient, client, is in a place which cannot be seen from the window. It's also good. Since the person in question is always to be able to be visible from the outside, there's no way to see. That's how we handle it. I think it can't be done that way. You know, it's not commonly done.
Yeah, but if the office is on the 10th floor?
It doesn't matter. As long as there are people in the anteroom. If you're a busy professional, people come all the time. And they can see him, but they can't see the other person. Have to find a way how to do that architecturally, you know, that you could be seen, and then have to make sure there's a little angle so no one can just peek through. So, you know, you have to be asked down the chachma. But if you're going to be going for professional practice, you spend a few extra dollars and get a guy, a
the architect to do it properly.
So you mean a window somewhere inside, not a window to the outside?
The outside wouldn't work, because in most cases you can't have it. No one can look in, no one can see. On the 10th floor, I guess there's another building directly opposite on the 10th floor, and they look right in. Who cares nowadays? It doesn't matter if they care, as long as they see, it's good enough.
So in a home?
Private home?
A private home, but with windows.
That's very good. Windows for opposite, it's a situation of that nature. Open the window shades, you face the street on the first floor, and you're not far, far from the street, then it's okay. Yeah, we have to judge these circumstances. Some houses are right up on the street, some of it sets back 20 feet, some of it sets back 100 feet. You know, the binoculars can be able to see into the window, that's not good.
And what about a car?
A car is moving. If the car is driving in the streets of New York City, I would say any time. On the highways, 24 hours a day. The highways never sleep. Private, small little tiny streets is a problem. After a certain hour, nobody goes. So I would think it's right if they have a couple on a date and they want to sit in front of the house for an hour and then in the private street. I don't think that's right. Because after half hour, hey, no one passed here, let's say half an hour. That's not right. They want to sit in the car, sit in the car on Queens Boulevard or something, you know, or something like that, where people are in constant traffic. I wouldn't say just sit in the on the Henrietta Park, but on the Queens Boulevard, where people are going all the time. I had a serious child this past year. Got out of date. In Camp Simcha. I've been in Camp Simcha? Apparently it's old. Way to describe it, it's like 7 miles in the middle of no one passes on that road. It's like a crazy road. It's away from everything. I was like, oh, you can't take this girl and you can't do it. You can't go there at night, so at night you can't go on that road because no one goes on the road. You can't do it. So what I told him to do is get there by day. Because by day people still, it's very treacherous, but by day people still going. And then, so where's he going to take her? You can't get her back by night. There was another camp nearby, right nearby, there was a camp at Buffalo County, one other little place nearby, so that's where you should go. And,
dropping her off.
No, you're right, you know, that place to the camp was just a minute, it was just a few minutes away. Right? But you have to be very careful with this camp. It's like all cars are always, almost always. If you have a chalet or a shop, and you drive back from Hancock, those are all the geography. Hancock is, 10-15 minutes away, and it goes on, not quite,
less travel.
I found going there at night, you'll almost always have another car come opposite you, for a mile stretch or a minute. So I thought it was mutter until 11 o'clock, I don't know. After that, I'm not so sure. Especially that little road called 247, but that's the road that leads to camp. After 11 o'clock, I'm not sure if anyone knows. I'm not sure. Come here, it's winter, because I don't want to say anything bad. The cars are coming even after 11 o'clock. You have to be careful. See what it says in the halacha. Now let's get to the age question, the babysitting question. Common question all the time. Being discussed. What's the situation of a young girl? So, it says if she's less than 3, it's no problem. Great. If the boy is less than 9, no problem. What happens if the boy is 10 or 13, whatever, the girl is 4 or 6? I'm out. So what's the halacha? So every indication of Shulchan Aruch, there exists before Mishnah Yichud. That is a problem. Huh? So this limits the babysitting.
Even if there are other children around?
Well, the other children, there'll be a 2-on-1 situation. And how old the other children are. Right. The Pasuk of the Shulchan Aruch says, if there's a girl in the house, and you dispute what this means, that she knows she would know to report if she saw something happening between, let's say, her sister and this babysitter. She would know how to get to it to her mother about it. But she's too young to have a desire for it by herself. Then it's okay. Because, as I said before, whatever there's a man and two women, the only problem is that there's a sin with both of them. If one of them won't sin, so then she'll protect the other. That's this case. How do you draw the line of age? It's a big fight among the poskim, what age is what. I mean, it depends on who the girl is. Some girls are kluk. You know, even at a relatively young age, they can tell them, well, you know what, I saw this and I saw this. And what was wrong? Explain it to me, Mom. And then at what age would the woman, would the girl have a timer just to be the man by herself? It also varies, you know, I mean, reading the papers, it was on. Unbelievable. I read it. The girl is double digits. Forget it. I mean, she's already very active in certain parts of this New York City world. I'm not discussing Africa. So New York City. So she's 10, so let's say after really watch out for her. So she has to be old enough to talk and young enough, I don't know, so which might be between 6 and 9. Now I'm not trying to think what kind of age she is. The post of a dispute. How old has she been in that magical zone? When she's old enough to speak, but not old enough to act. That's she is such a woman, is such a girl, is among the girls who are being babysat for. Then even the other ones would not be a problem for a male babysitter. For a female babysitter. So look, I mean, once the boy is 9. Question of who else is in the house again. And there'll be other boys in the house and other girls in the house. It really depends on the circumstances of the case. And of course, the possible heter, what happens if the parents are local? They can walk in at any time. They have the key and they can walk in at any time. We know how babies are always afraid to be caught in the phone, of course, the fridge, right? That's right. Because they know they can come in at any time. Whenever that fear exists, there is no problem. But he said later, listen, we're going to a wedding in Barakway. And you call, that makes it even worse. You don't call, oh, maybe they forgot and they're coming back, maybe they're already on the way back. You call, okay, I'm calling for the wedding, it's in the white shul, we'll be back in an hour, we'll be back in 2 hours. Then she knows, she's not a fooling with them. She hears the music in the background, she knows they're in the white shul. You're in Riverdale, so that's it. And how fast are you getting? So that would make it even worse. And when the ages are there for the youth of problem. So this therefore is the issue of the ages. Chazal took extra steps to see to it that people should be above reproach, beyond reproach. He's trying to see to it that the people, a single boy shouldn't teach in the yeshiva, because the mothers come with their kids and they're going to end up being too much involved with women. Can you imagine that? And a woman shouldn't teach little kids because the men are going to come and give her a hard time. So you have to know where I apply this as mine as this. Who's going to teach? So the poskim have been a little bit more lenient nowadays. You have schools, it's different. Not the old stories of private homes. Things change so much with the circumstances. But nevertheless, the general guidelines don't change, which is that you have to stay away from evil. The Rambam, his very famous conclusion, the Hilchos Isuri Diyah, says that watch out for yichud. You can't come to sin without yichud. So if you stay away from yichud, you can basically guarantee that you're not going to have one of these things happen to you. So do your very best to stay away from yichud. And if there is yichud, you never know. You the person is a righteous person and there's no quote criminal record, still, you have to be very careful. I know in Yeshiva there's a particular teacher that when a female student will come, he won't just leave the door unlocked because of office. And many other people have the key to the door, have the key of the office, and they can walk in and they leave it unlocked. He leaves the door open. The truth is that nowadays it's smart for other reasons. Because the people who have been known to be slapped with being harassed. I heard a chutzpah that air on the radio just last night. A law firm of two Yidlach, I think, Jewish names. Have you been the subject of either sexual harassment or what else? A whole bunch of things. They throw about the far crazy thing to you. And if you have been, call this law firm who represents you and they'll pay any money unless we collect money. It's unbelievable. It's completely in people's minds. And then the lawyers got into the act and then, they'll settle for $10,000 just to get the loot, they go almost back. That it's smart to be very careful. I want to save Simon Kalgila for next time with a remarkable halacha. This unbelievable halacha. It says in the Shulchan Aruch that the Bnei Yisrael were not chashudim on Mishkav Zohar. They never were afraid of homosexuality. And therefore there's no prohibition of yichud of two men. Of a pasha, everyone knows that. Pasha. More than that, Shulchan Aruch is mashma, or fear, that they can even be permissible for two men to be in the same bed. This was an NTSY convention a few years back, and they had a motel. And it's very big bed, what they call king size, it's over king size, huge bed, you can fit five people in a big, big bed. And but after years and years and years to save money, and I just, just don't tell them, they put two kids in a room with a bed, and it's no problem. Got to the point where they had something. Not anything happened. Nothing happened. We're just afraid that in today's climate society, one kid will roll over in the middle of the night, and this little start tumbling at these guys. You have to be, you can't be too careful with man. I'll tell you another story. There was a Rosh Hashiva who was interested in procuring dormitory space for his yeshiva. And there was an interesting possibility. It was a Goyish school, and the rooms had two beds per room. All the yeshivas now have at least three beds in a room. Yeshivas! Yeshivas! Only YU has two beds in a room. You look at the yeshivas, apparently, and I'm not sure. They overcrowded a few in the room. Yeah, we have that a little bit too. But the general, the normal standard, I was unaware of it. You have three in a room. It was, you can't be too careful. You have to be very, very careful. In today's world, even if it's permissible for sure, in the time of the Shulchan Aruch. Nowadays, you have to be more careful. Because, the world we live in, if you be Yisim, the key in the Hashem of Israel, you have to be very careful. It was a problem even for Rebbeim. When I was going up to Rebbe, he'd always put his hand around his shoulder, and he had a case of a young man, never had some kind of something was wrong in this area. And he was, found to be doing, conducting himself inappropriately with respect to the male students in the yeshiva. And I was told he was confronted by the authority. What are you doing? His response was, what do you mean? My Rosh Hashiva always kisses the boys. They're in Rosh Hashiva language, you say hello, goodbye, I get married, I got it. The world's gotten so crazy that, the answer is, normally it's 100% for Gavaldic. It's a sign of, closeness. We live in too cold a society in the country, so it's just appropriate to demonstrate affection or similar or any kind of such occasion. But this guy took it and ran with it. They had us tell me as police. And I was interested. I was caught in the situation. The same guy wanted to come, spend some time up in Camp Al Rashad or something. And I said, I put him off. And then he called again. I put him off, he called again. I was almost ready to listen. Poor guy, a tourist. I got a call from the camp director. Just in the nick of time, not knowing that this guy had called. Listen, there's a certain Mr. X who's coming to Paris. I'm going to let him in. He's a Rahman's case. I got a call from a parent. A parent of a kid who was learning in the camp said, if you let this guy off the camp, we're going to sue you. They didn't really mean it. They meant they wanted to tell seriously their view that they were right. They were right. They were right. They were right. I told the guy, I felt bad. Like, you can't come. Why can't I come? I could. I'm going to tell the guy. I'm sorry.
Positioning is still.
No, he wasn't come for a job. It's for a week. It's to learn. He knew they were bad. I kept saying, it's full. It's called up official level. We called it official level. But in the interim, I got in the call from the camp director. So I said, he must have understood a little bit what was going on, but I just never. The Rachmanis. Very serious. You know, this is a problem we were discussing in our house yesterday. How this issue of homosexuality exists even in the Turk community. And they try to ignore it, to deny it, but obviously much less than the general community, there's no question about it. But it exists. It was even printed in the last tradition, one of them, a lot years ago, yesterday. What do you do? Guy comes over to you and he says, you know, he's gay. Now what do you do? Gay, either the machshava, the deeper, the maisa. You know, what do you, how do you counsel the person? Not so simple. It was, it's you know, the Torah, an abomination. You know, that is no question true. But what's going to be good for this guy to try to make him rehabilitate it? It's crazy to even talk about this now, but because of the times in which we live, it's necessary to talk about these things. You know, the Shulchan Aruch says that we're not pashutim on this, and it's still true. I would say that you can say, generally speaking, that b'nei Yisrael are not pashutim on it. There's a general rule. Nevertheless, because of the times in which we live, we have to be extra specially careful to avoid any possibility of accusation or suspicion of wrongdoing. Okay, this is very important. In general, in particular, this kind of situation. So we've covered today Simon Chav Beis. Was a vehicle to cover every last detail. They're big books written, hundreds of pages. If you want to look for a book, I'll give you the recommendation called Dvar Halacha. Hundreds of pages written by Rav Zalman's brother-in-law. Big safer. And if you want to look, can look there. So we're not going to go into it in a moment. If you have a question, you will.
Why? Anyone who's ever thinking respect or arrogance for who I mean, cannot be unpublished. With respect to a single woman, cannot be one. That is correct. The truth tells, I'm not sure which child is wilder than the other. But the glasses on the far from on the side of the other end of the cover of the cold because it's all there above and the base shmua rather. They say that, well, talking about all sorts of things, confirmed their wisdom. But although the Shulchan Aruch says, actually, a single woman, it doesn't mean a single, some single woman married, or formerly married, now divorced, a widow, or who will live with a man. That's what Kluya means. Difficult. Rather than the Shulchan Aruch says, Kluya, very much one, all the time is concerned. Yet, the moment I brought up that, it's just equally difficult. He says that the word Perua in me should be wild here. It has to be greater. But the Shulchan Aruch equates single and married. So if that's the case, let's say, when a married woman does not have to cover it yet, you don't have to greater it, but someone actually suggests that. The word Perua means wild in the context of a single woman, she doesn't have to cover it yet. All she has to do is to raise it, and in my case, it's part of a married woman. The whole sword, let's go back to the steps.
it was for a woman having a hair. Everyone knows the point of myself. It says, all right, go to the shop. There's no way. I'm covered. The supply for that, it has a cup. You can't uncover something which is uncovered. Uncovered has something covered before. But why was the hair covered? Well, it was a presumption. The Torah makes a presumption that the woman's hair, before the going out into the act, was covered. Assumption. On what basis? See, the manual that requires a cover her. That's what it is. Really, it's told to have to be married. It's told by definition that the woman is adulterous. You cannot be adulterous if you're not married. It doesn't work. Promiscuous, immoral, there's a lot of things. You cannot be adulterous by definition, being have to be married. And therefore, it stands to be. Requirement to cover the hair is only for this matter. How can the Shulchan Aruch say otherwise? Let the moment of his theory, you're right. Covered is only what she's married. Well, all theories say covered is only what she's married. And Kaluya, even someone who was married, when she still required to cover her hair, although presumably, that would be only a rabbinical requirement. Total requirements cover the hair of only one woman who is presently married. She was married, there's no requirement by Torah. Nonetheless, they say by rabbinical law, if she was married, or if she lived with a man, then the rabbinical requirement that she cover her hair. That's how the classical Mepharshim, the Bamaran, didn't like it. He said no. The real regular tzniut was never married before. But in her context, the word karua means wild. That's a braid there. It's not the need of chapter into the words. It doesn't fit into the words of the Rambam. It's very difficult. Very hard to understand. Into the hopper, and you keep egg on the side, suggests that a woman who is betrothed, which is Harusa, Gashes, but not the store, a betrothed woman who's still living in her father's home and her husband's home, she also requires a cover of egg. So suggests that we keep egg, or throw this analysis to see, hey, what's going on? Why should it be? Not that we give much credence to our limited attempts to give reasons for our office, because they're limited, they may be wrong, we don't follow the reason necessarily, but let's just try anyway. We're required to try to figure out the things. So my theory also follows, and it's a theory that's particularly relevant today, it'll be in a minute. Seems to me, well, let me get a story. Let's see what kind of story better than anything I say. Oh my God, I forget the other story. When it comes to the wrong customer, he takes off.